And I've called it Happenings Ahead, from now to eternity. We're going to think for the next months to come. I suppose it will take us nearly 12 months to run through this. We're going to deal with every major event ahead for the church. Thinking about every major event ahead for the church. Where the Lord will come for the church, and shall rise to meet him in the air. Then the judgment seat and the marriage supper of the Lamb and all the details. Because we're not only going to think about the details ahead for the church, but we're thinking about the individual Christian. Some great details for us to face individually. You know, the Laodicean church, the last of the seven spoken to in the book of the Revelation, it's true that the Lord begins the message speaking to the church. I know thy works and all the rest of it. But he ends the message by knocking at the door and saying, if any man, it comes down to the individual. And I believe that's the day we're at. The Lord's looking for men and women to trust him and to obey his word. Going to look at the major events for the church, for the Christian, for the Christless. Sometimes we get dear unsaved friends who come to the meeting. We have businessmen here, and I know this, and they won't mind me saying this, that when they get their new daddy at the beginning of the year, they write off all the Tuesdays. They're not saved. Put all the Tuesdays, Pastor, going to the Bible class. And we wouldn't like them to go to hell when it's finished. We'd like to see them saved. I'm responsible for talking to them, and I'll clear my blood. I want to talk to the Christless at times in these Bible classes, the Christian, the Christless, the church, the Catholic, and I'm talking about the Roman Catholic. This book's got a lot of things to say about Rome. We've got to get them out, this book we're going by. The capitalist and the communist. There we've got a long way to go, but I believe that God will bless us. Now, we're starting off tonight by looking at the last days. And I mean the last of the last days of the church dispensation. You know, I believe that now, just at this psychological second, I believe that we're in the very last of the last days of church history. Now, I've got to prove that. It is no use me saying it. I've got to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt tonight from the Word of God that we are in the last, and I would say the very last of the last days. Got to prove that. And we're going to prove that by looking at the distinction of the last days. Looking at the last days when we think of Israel, the Jewish nation, and thinking of the last days as referring to the church. I think we've got to see this very clearly because I believe that some scholars have made mistakes here. And then we're going to look at the dignity of the last days for Israel and the degeneracy of the last days for Christendom. And then I'll come to my proof. You know, the last of the last days, they're full of denials. Denials of this and that and the other. There's something that I want to tidy up, and I want to show you that first of all. If you go to Hebrews chapter 1, remember in the Bible readings we make the Bible do the work. Hebrews chapter 1, this is the only book in the New Testament that begins with the word God. Hebrews 1, verse 1. A God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time passed on to the fathers by the prophets. I think you want to underline the little phrase, in time past. And you can see that God was speaking in time past. God spake. And you can see who he was speaking to. He was speaking on to the fathers. Because when we get the word fathers just like that, you know it's the Jewish race. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on. And he was speaking on to the fathers by the prophets. Of course, if you take Peter preaching in the house of Cornelius, you will know that unto Christ give all the prophets witness. So that God was speaking in time past about his son to the Jewish nation through the prophets. But you notice how it follows on. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now, it's quite true that this whole dispensation of the church can be called the last days. Quite true. It is true, and you must see. You look back at the other dispensation, you call it in time past. God was speaking about his Son through the prophets to the Father. And you call this dispensation in these last days. I think we've got to get that, because this phrase, the last days, it comes in different senses in the New Testament. And there is a sense that's before us just now that the whole dispensation of the church period is called the last days. And it's good for the young preachers here to note that in these last days, God is speaking through his Son. My dear young preacher, the message is Christ. Don't you miss it. You're going out preaching. Remember, you're going out preaching Christ. And you've got plenty of scope. You needn't be afraid. Because you can start away before the foundation of the world, and you can see the eternal Son of the selected one, chosen, the Lamb chosen. You can take a night on the sent one, because the Son was the sent one, the Father sent the Son. And you can take a night on the suffering one, because he became the suffering one. And he rose again as the saving one, he's the living Savior. And he's the shepherd, he's the great shepherd of the sheep, and he's the sovereign who will reign wherever the sun. But that's the message of the dispensation. Now, in one sense, it is perfectly true that the whole dispensation is called these last days. But there's another sense that we've got to see this. Let's go to 2 Peter for a moment. 2 Peter and we'll come back to this evening, because This is one of the denials, but I just want to fix something for you. Peter's writing to these Jews that are scattered abroad throughout Pontus and so on. And he's saying to them in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Now you'll notice exactly how he sees it. This, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day. You know, he's looking on down the age that lies ahead, and there shall come. And he's using the phrase in the last days as meaning the last of the last days. And I think you can see that very clearly. Yes, I believe that we'll prove tonight that these are the very days we're in. We'll get round to the scoffers in a moment or two. But I think that we want to see these distinctions very clearly. And you'll find it many times coming before you once you get it pointed out to you that it comes again and again in different forms. But we want to see the distinction more clearly of the last days for Israel and then compare that with the last days of the church. Now that's a very important one. Let me take you back into the Old Testament to the prophecy of Isaiah and at the second chapter, please. The prophecy of Isaiah and at the second chapter. Now, we want to take this very carefully here, phrase by phrase. Isaiah chapter 2. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And you know, when we talk about Judah like that, we're talking about the two tribes that were left when the 10 tribes had divided from them. You remember Israel got into the land, Joshua led them in, the 12 tribes were there. But after the time, the nation divided into two kingdoms. And there was what was called the northern kingdom with 10 tribes and the southern kingdom with 2 tribes. Sometimes the northern kingdom was called Israel, sometimes the southern kingdom was called Judah. Northern kingdom had a royal city in Samaria, and the southern kingdom had a royal city in Jerusalem. And you know, the prophet is getting a vision of the royal kingdom, the real kingdom, reigning in Jerusalem in the last days. I want you to get the hold of this. This is what he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Last days of who? The last days of Judah, the royal tribe, the royal kingdom in Jerusalem. It comes to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall go into it. What a day it is. There is not very many months back since they burned the mosque yonder in Jerusalem. The top of the hill it is, if you like. I would like to say who was responsible really for burning it. There's a young fellow doing a couple of years for it now. But it's burned and it's gone. And if my information is right, Israel is preparing to build a temple on the very spot. In fact, I'm told that they're preparing stones just now for to build that temple. And in the last days of that nation, that house will be built, and all the nations of the world will go there. It says, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his way. We will walk in his path, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now don't be spiritualizing it now. As Jerusalem happens to mean Jerusalem in this passage. Watch this, and he shall judge among the nations. And when it says nations, he means nations. And shall rebuke many people, and you don't work that into heaven, do you? Some of the spiritualizing boys says Jerusalem heaven here. Ah, well, they must be rebuking them in heaven. Oh, no. No, no. Says they shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. You know, these are the last days of the nation of Israel. Oh, you can see the dignity of the nation. My, the nations will come to worship there. And the Lord will be king. And the nations on earth will learn war no more. Not there yet, are we? I can tell you, if you were in Israel at this moment, they're doing the very reverse. They're not putting their swords into pruning hooks tonight. It may be that they're putting the pruning hooks into swords tonight. They're preparing for war just now. And that's a far bigger preparation than what the nations imagine. Well, it's only a small strip of land of any bigger of Ulster than Ulster if you take it yard by yard. And yet they're throwing their weight out against the world at this moment. I don't need to go into this now. We'll come to that by and by. That's just the dignity of the last days for Israel. But if you compare that with this, let's go to Paul writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy. And the third chapter, 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. Paul writing to Timothy said, verse 1, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, this know also, that in the last days, that's a phrase again, isn't it? The same phrase. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Yes, it's got to do with the church of God. Somebody said to me once, are you sure it's for the church? Yes, I'm very sure. I'll be reading on in a moment or two, but I only want you to get the distinction between the last days for Israel and the dignity that nation will have when all other nations come there to worship, and the degeneracy that's in Christendom in the last days of the church. Because you know there are going to come perilous times for the church. I think we're really there. You'll find out when we expand this in a moment that these perilous times shall come for men. For men. That's why the perilous times shall come for men. You'll see at the end of verse 2, they're unholy men. You'll see at the end of verse 3, that they're despisers of those that are good. See, in the middle of verse 2, that they're blasphemers. But these blasphemers, blaspheming on holy men who despise those that are good, want to have a form of religion.
Oh, they'll have to have a form of religion. Unholy characters want a form of religion. The world's full of them.
Now I'll tell you what Paul says to the church. From such, turn away. That's why I know it's to the church. He's got to turn away from this.
That's not unity, you know. That's separation. That's what that is. Get out. That's what that says.
Yes, I think that you can see these terms now. And you've got to always distinguish between the phrase, these last days covering the whole dispensation, and the last days of Israel in all her glory, and the last days of the church in perilous time. The man who cannot see the distinction, I'm afraid I can't help him. But I want to prove tonight that we, as the Church of Jesus Christ on earth, and when I say the Church of Jesus Christ on earth, I'm talking about every believer. I know there are believers everywhere. Believers in the Methodist, believers in the Church of Ireland and England, believers in the Presbyterians, and believers in the Baptists, the Brethren, and in the Roman Catholics. Yes? I know a young fellow who's a grocer. I was taking a box of groceries into the convent in Lisbon some time ago. All happy he was. Great meeting on Sunday. It was Monday morning, and he's singing the hymn, whistling he was. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. An old man passing him in the corridor said, "That's a lovely hymn you're whistling." Said, "Do you know that hymn?" He said, "Son, I not only know the hymn, I know the one the hymn speaks of." My, he nearly got the groceries. Just didn't believe it could happen, you know. He laid them down and said, "You're trying to tell me that you know the Lord?" He said, "Son, look, I'm 73 years of age, and when I was 70, I got saved. I have nowhere to go. I have no friends. I'll stay here and teach the young ones. I'll be one or two turn up out of the Roman Catholics too." Praise the Lord. The Lord will have great glory in heaven, you know, when black and white and red and yellow and Protestant and Catholic and orange man and Hibernian all go marching in together through the blood of the Lamb. What a day it will be. Yes. I think that you can see these distinctions, all right. But I want to prove tonight that we're in the very last of these last days of the church, in the very last of the last days. Now, let me show you a few phrases about the last days and things that we should be looking out for. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John. And at the second chapter, please. First John, chapter 2. And down there at verse 18, John uses this phrase again and again, "little children." You'll notice when the chapter starts, it starts with this phrase, verse 1, "my little children." These may well have been some whom the apostle had led to the Lord himself. But he calls them little children. And at the end of the chapter in verse 28, it says, "And now little children abide in him." But you notice what he says in verse 18, "little children, it is the last time." And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Now, if you turn the page to chapter 4, you'll get more news. Verse 1, it changes the endearing phrase from "my little children" to "beloved." Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. You know, this is one of the things we should be looking for in the last days. You know, there are men going to arise, false prophets, of course. They're going to deny that Jesus Christ ever existed. They will deny. This is one of the denials. That's what it says here. Yes, they will deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. They will deny the reality and the humanity and even the history of Jesus Christ. This is yesterday morning's paper, newsletter. This is what's on. You could nearly read it from the far end. Big letters. Christ was a mushroom myth caller. Huh. Want to put the question mark behind that? Caller to a pen. This is what this character says. The life of Christ, his crucifixion and resurrection are all part of the myth. Christ represented the mushroom which paid a fleeting visit to his followers on earth. And he has a whole theory about Christ being a mushroom. His head's a mushroom. Friend, I wonder the letter fellow like that walk about. He said, lock that boy up and I'll tell you more about this. This fellow has lectured in Manchester University for the last 20 years on the Old Testament. Got about £4,000 a year for lecturing on something he didn't believe. He's a fraud to begin with. My, no wonder they never sent me to a university. Praise the Lord. That's the sort of colds they have been teaching the kids. This fellow says Christ submits. It's all baloney. There was no Christ. None at all. There never was a Christ. John said a good while before us that this is the spirit of Antichrist and it will come in the last days. That's what John said. You know, I wonder that they get off with this and nobody challenges them. There's a great historian, and I know that there are many historians in this meeting, some of them from Queens. When it comes down to history, I know that you can beat me every time. Because I don't know too much about it. I only need to know this book to defend myself, and that's quite sufficient sword for me. But I know, and you know, that there was a historian called Clement of Rome. And he wrote his great history at the end of the first century. And mind you, in that century, Christ died somewhere AD 33 or maybe 36. And it is said that Clement of Rome talked to John the Apostle. He talks in his history about speaking to John the Apostle. He didn't profess to be Christ's follower, but he wrote the history of his time. And he wrote about Christ living and preaching and dying and the talk of his rising again. Does this character at Manchester say that this other fellow is a liar? I don't think he would have got off with lies like that at the end of the first century. And I'll tell him this, that in AD 100, the four Gospels were complete in Alexandria. They were there. Trying to tell me that fishermen like Peter and men like Mark and Luke and John, trying to tell me that these men concocted the fiction and got it over to the people and turned the whole world upside down by a table? Is that what that character's trying to get over to me? I think a pity of him. I really think a pity of him. He's trying to say that historians are liars. Why has he even looked at his calendar? It's dated before Christ, B.C., A.D. after Christ, after David. And to tell me that the governments of the world are mad. Historians are liars. Trying to tell me that the countless thousands, yea millions, and I say the word carefully, who have had an experience of being delivered and made new creatures, drunkards made sober, harlots made pure, liars made truthful. Time to tell me it's all baloney. And then his mushroom. God pity him. They should feed him a mushroom from this to the end of eternity. I wonder if they put up with this. What are the universities and the nation and all the rest of it doing? Well, pay this. Is this where the tax money goes to? God help us. No wonder some of the fellows at the university have a riot now and again. If that's who's teaching. No wonder. Sometimes we get the kids' story all wrong. If I was listening to a boy like that every day, I know what I would do with him. It would be worse than a riot, I'm afraid. Yes, but this is a fact for us tonight. This is a fact. This is one of the things that's going to come in the last days. John could see the foreshadowing it. Here it is in our yesterday morning's newsletter. Monday the 18th is dated on the top line. You'd think they were helping me out in the class. Yes. Oh, it's the last days, all right. There's the denial of the very existence of Christ. Have a look at this one. We were at it a moment ago. 2 Peter chapter 3. Well, let's do it properly this time. Verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, you can see that he's writing to the saints, I now write unto you, in those which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the word which was spoken before by the holy prophet. You know, he is trying to so set up their minds that they'll really pay attention to what has been said in the Old Testament. Trying to stir up their minds that they may remember and be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophet. And of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. He's combining Old Testament and New Testament, and he's commending it to their memory. Just pay attention, he says, and remember. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Mark the word, chosen by the Spirit. Walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Yes, they're denying not only the very existence of Christ, but we've got the crowd around us who denies the coming of Christ. Of course, you could get plenty of material to support this, couldn't you? My, there's a whole crowd and they don't believe that he's coming to the air to take his waiting people home at all. They don't believe that. Don't believe in the rapture of the church. They don't think that Christ will come and that we will go. All crowd. But I want you to notice exactly what is said here. Watch it very carefully now. You'll notice that they're all scoffers. Notice the little phrase, walking after their own lusts, of course, put in by the Spirit also. They're all selfish. It's self that's to the forefront, scoffers, and it's all self. And they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? You know, they're not asking us to find the text where it says Christ's coming. No, no, they're not tackling that sort of thing. They would know that I could go back to John 14 and find the Lord saying to his disciples, if I go, I will come again. They would know I could get that. They would know that I could go to the Mount of Olives as Christ ascended. And I could hear the two men in white saying, these angelic beings have appeared suddenly. This same Jesus shall so come. They would know I could find that. They would know that I could go to 1 Thessalonians where Paul pens, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. No, they're not asking me where is the promise in the word. But watch what they're asking. And saying, what is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep. You know that phrase put in there like that, that tells me that these are Jews. That's who they are, you know. Of course, that's who Peter is writing to. He's writing to these same Jews. And he's telling them that some of the orthodox unsaved Jews are going to come in the last days and they're going to question Christ's return. Because they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Mind you, while they're scoffers and selfish uppermost, they know that this great, wonderful world of ours didn't come by evolution. The word creation they're using, from the beginning of creation. Yes, they got that bit all right. Then Peter puts in a very wonderful phrase, for this they willingly are ignorant of. Isn't that a very wonderful phrase? You know, he's not just saying that they're ignorant. No, he's saying this, they're willingly ignorant of. You know, when some people want to argue and criticize and scoff, They have to shut their eyes to things they know. And that's what I call suckers. And they're suckers and selfish and suckers. And they're a damnable crowd to work with. That's what they are. And they're all around us in these last days, let me tell you that. All around us. And this is coming thick and fast in these days. Oh, yes, there are men now in the pulpits who are questioning Christ, trying to spiritualize it into some sort of a glorified generation. No, the church is going to end in perilous times, sir. That's what it's going to end. But where do you see this? He says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Now that's Genesis 1. That's exactly what that is. Don't make any miss of that there. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That's Noah's flood you have now. Don't get those two waters mixed up there. And then he says, but the heavens and the earth which are now, right up to this very moment, now is the word. By the same word thou kept in store, reserved unto fire. Tell you, God's going to burn the lot. Don't make any mistakes about it. When we get into this a little bit further, seeing things ahead, I'll tell you, you'll know a thing or two about atomic energy when you see it in the scriptures. God's going to burn it. My, the very heavens will roll up like a scroll, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. The church will not be here, son. I'll be here. He says this, but beloved, he's back to talk to these saints. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. This is what they were questioning. Where is the promise? The Lord is not flat, as some men count flatness, but is long suffering. I want you to get the next phrase correct. To us was. Who's the us? How will they left, you know? You know, the Lord has his hand upon the door and he's ready to come. You know what's keeping back? Murders a few of the elect to be gallowed from his long suffering to us, the Lord. To us, believe. And when the last one is gathered in, he comes. You know, when you kneel with a sinner, like the big fellow on Sunday night who shook in his shoes, clasped his hands together in the tears in his eyes and called on the Lord Jesus to save him. Man, it could have been a lost one. The Lord will come. Oh, they're questioning, aren't they? They're denying the very existence of Christ. And then on the other hand, they're denying the very coming of Christ. Paul runs. Laugh at me. I know a Presbyterian minister that I could name. Only a reason believer, and I wouldn't take it out of him. He says, you know, Mr. Monk, half mad. Well, I was half mad before I was saved, so I don't worry too much. I have the book in my hand, and he doesn't know it. And he wouldn't be able to carry this meeting on for 4 nights. 10 minutes on Sunday morning would do him.
says he can't compete with the truth. So he starts on the personality. So don't worry me, you know. Don't get those thinking that they worry me. They don't worry me, those fools. Now, let's get a hold of this. We're trying to prove that we're in the very last of the last days before we get the series off the ground at all. And in the last of the last days, they'll deny the very existence of Christ. Was in the paper yesterday. And they will deny the very coming of Christ. You could get 1,000 illustrations. Here's one that we want to look at very carefully. Let's go back to 2 Timothy and have another look at it. And it's that 3rd chapter. I will do it carefully this time. He's writing to Timothy, you know. And he's been teaching this young believer who was a son of his in the faith. He was teaching him quite a lot of things, and when he got them all over to him, he said, "This know also." Here's something else I want you to take note of. That in the last days, perilous times shall come. This was the way ahead of Paul. He was about to lay his head on the block here. Yet he's looking ahead. Perilous times shall come. Sort of teaching and warning Timothy. And then he lets him know where these perilous times will come from. They'll come from men. From men. And then you would wonder why all these words are here. You know, he describes these men so fully. And when the Holy Ghost describes men like this, you have to take note. First of all, if you look at it very carefully, he shows us the thought life of these men who are going to bring perilous times to the church. Here are their thoughts. Lovers of their own selves. Just go about dreaming about themselves. Covetous with their eyes on certain things. See, therefore, heady. High-minded. It shows you the thought life. And then if you look again at these words, you will find their social life is described. It says, they're boasters. Stand up and boast. They're proud. Blasphemers. What a terrible word. Verse 4, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You can see their social life. And then if you look closely at it, you not only see their thought life and their social life, you see their home life. If they're unmarried, they're disobedient to parents. Unthankful. If they're married, without natural affection. For the home life. But if you look at it very carefully, these men, you not only see their thoughts and their social life and their home life, but they seem to have some place in the government. Because they're truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. Yes, you can see their thought life and their social life and their home life, their governmental life. Have a look at their religious life. First of all, the word unholy is there. And then, of course, the word blasphemer is there. And then it says, having a form of godliness. And then it says, despisers of those that are good. You know, we're going to have trouble in the last days. Because we're going to have a lot of these fellows around us who love themselves.
and who love pleasure more than they love God. And they're going to get a certain amount of power. And they're going to look down their nose at the goody-goodies, as they call them. We take a stand for Christ. They don't like this thing. They want to have a form of godliness. Of course, they want to still remain unholy and blasphemers and despise those that are good. Because if you're going to have a form of godliness, a religion, and you're going to have unholy men in it and blasphemers, and you're going to despise those that are good, you can't have Christ. So it says that they're having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Hey, they don't want the power of Christ. You can't have that. This is where the ecumenical movement is heading for. My, there are a lot of old reptiles in that ecumenical movement. And they're wanting to build up a big fancy world church. And these unholy clowns and blasphemers and those that despise those that know Christ, they want to have this form, but they don't want the power. Oh, don't let the power shut Christ out. They'll likely have this fellow that writes this book as some sort of chairman. He would do all right. Yes. Tell me this. Are we in the last days? Are men denying the existence of Christ? Are men questioning the coming of Christ? Are men wanting to build a church without the power of Christ, the holy power? Christ went about doing good. How can a blasphemer build a religion? Yes. You know, sometimes when we talk about the Pope of Rome, some of us who have been brought up Protestants, we just sort of push it to the side. Now let me say something very carefully and don't get off on the wrong foot. I think that the ecumenical movement and its leaders at this moment are having great trouble with Pope Paul. He's giving them what for? In certain issues. Certain issues. You know, he wrote an encyclical against the pill. And let me tell you, it was the best bit of writing I've ever seen on the pill. And I read every word of it very carefully. But some of the Romans got up against them, you know. And they're beginning to find out now. Now that medical science has looked into it a little bit, that he was right. Of course, the ecumenicalists don't like him doing that sort of thing. And now he's come out against abortion. Why wouldn't they? Yes, the horrible thing that they're doing in abortion now. Taking a little half-formed baby 4 inches out of a mother and going and having a whole examination on it. He's against it. He's against divorce. And they don't know how he and Cooper will get on when they get face to face, and Cooper says that the Virgin Mary is a whore. How will they work it out? They'll have to push him around a bit, or they'll have to get a Pope that they can get on. Some are going out and saying, I've become a Roman now. Because I couldn't get on with that blast
blasphemous mark, nor the worship of Mary either, and a thousand other things. But I can tell you that the ecumenical movement is having trouble with the Pope. Because on these issues, he's more morally right than they are. Old Ramsay would eat all the pills in the country himself. Between mushrooms and pills, I'll be in a picture for that. Well, but I'm taking phrases out of the scriptures for you and sort of opening it up to you, and I'm letting you see that we're in the last. Oh, that it would grip us, that we're in the last of the last days. In the last. In the Lord. Your children say, your old mother say, sitting looking at television tonight on her way to hell. The sexton of this church was telling me tonight, I was in early, he was brushing around, as I talked to the employer the other day. He says, tonight he's on the broad of his back, he mightn't see the end of the week. And he looked up at me and he said, don't talk to me about Christ coming. I've had that all my life. He'll never come. Never come for him if he dies the way he's living. Friend, let it grip us. Don't let us get a hold of the truth now. This is the danger of meetings like these. Let the truth get a hold of you. Come out to the prayer meeting. Go and look for somebody for Sunday evening. A fellow sitting over there went away around the town, Belfast, last Sunday evening, gets a hold of a big Roman Catholic, brings him all the way to Lurgan in the car. He got saved. My, who doesn't he? Would get about the work of God. We'd get on with the job. Now we don't do much of the half of us, only warm our feet and carry a Bible. We're in the last days, man. I wish I could get it over to you. And the Lord will come. It'll be all over. The battle will be over. And your friends will be in hell. And you'll be to blame. Letting them go to hell. You're afraid to ask me. My, the Lord's got a great army, hasn't he? Dr. Irene said to me with tears in his eyes one day, my, what God has done down through the ages with a few old crocks. And it's true, you know. Never hardly had a decent man to work with. We sleep, we are lazy, we'll do nothing, we criticize, we murmur, we split hairs, not a thing that we do for God. God pity us. Let's watch this. Here's something more about the last days. First Timothy this time. First Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, there's the phrase again, some shall depart from the faith. Well, that's a very poor one, isn't it? Men going to depart from the faith. You know, I was in the bookshop not so very long ago. While I was looking around the books, the owner of the shop came down and said, how are you? I'm glad to see you. Said, I was at a meeting last night. I haven't been there for many years. He said, you know, the last time I was there, the man was preaching the glorious gospel with the
sweat running down his face. Last night he never mentioned Christ. He had no time for Christ, it seems. And just with that, the man came through the door. And he hit me, he said, "There." And he just wandered on over to him and he said, "You know, I was at your meeting last night. I can remember the time when you used to thunder out the old gospel. But I have no time for it now. None whatsoever. I'm away from you." We in the last day. That's not an isolated case, you know. You could get thousands of them in the north of Ireland. Thousands of them. And they're away now! Away from us! My, I could name them. Men that used to weep on their knees. Men that used to hold on to God for hours. Men who would be sat in for days. They're at the football in Paddy now. I had a letter the other day from a little fellow who's in a college in England. His mother's here tonight somewhere. Letter. And he said, "Mr. Mullen, who are the brethren boys in this college? And they smoke, and they drink, and they go to the football. If you'd like to see the letter, come on and I'll show you." The last days, I tell you. Last day. Take a wee fellow like that to have a back like a man to stand it. He's blessing me standing. And we're in the last day. Departure. Yes. From the faith. Yes, here's why. The latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Isn't that a dreadful word? You know, that's what the old devil is doing. And I'll tell you this, he's doing this in the colleges more than anywhere else. Trying to seduce these young ones. Trying to get them away from the book and the blood. Yes. And the men that give into this and are seduced. My, they're seduced by spirits and doctrines of devils. Isn't that a horrible phrase? Doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created. And they have the evolution bit right again, because the beasts were created, not evolved. Yes, but we're in the last day. Yeah. Have a look at this. We're back at 2 Timothy. And we're at chapter 4. Paul's looking into Timothy's face as he writes this. "I charge thee therefore before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, that is appearing in his kingdom, preach the word." Oh, that I had lungs like leather to thunder it out to you young men. You boys that are coming up in this meeting, are you listening? Preach the word! That's what you need. Learn the book. It's all you'll need. It's all I've done in this class for 17 years, almost 18. Just the book, that's all I have. Take it off me and I'm finished. I can hardly count to 12 and I know nothing about anything. I know this old book from back to front and front to back. And this is all I need for the last days. Preach the word! Let's go! You got it now. I'm for trying to defunct. Preach the word. The instant, in season, out of season. That means you do it everywhere. Preach it at the meeting. preach about the funerals, preach about the weddings. Every chance you get, preach the word. Out of season, in season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. These great old words, aren't they? With all long suffering and doctrine. Now here's why. For the time will come. Time will come, the last day. When they will not endure sound doctrine. You know what amazes me? That God's grace has been upon us so long in this little place. Look at this tonight. Have a look at it, man. There's nothing to attract here. Have a look at that face. Look at the faces behind me. The worst behind me, sir. Yes. Nothing to attract at all. And no choruses. No solos. Nothing but the book. And yet God has us here. I am sure the Lord speaks. Mind you, we are battling against something that they never battled against in Spurgeon's day or any other day ahead of that. We're in the last day. And in the last of the last days, it says this, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Oh, you know they want something sensational now. Yes, this is what they're after. So many things I could name tonight. This is what they want of me. Oh, they want to sit down with a book and listen to an old fellow like me for an hour and a half. No, they want to get away from me. They're getting away. It says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. You see, they'll be after these sensational things, having itching ears, wanting sensational. And they'll be turning away from the eternal. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. And shall be turned unto fables. You know, I've known this for a long time. If you desire the sensational and turn away from the eternal, you'll end up with the nonsensical. Fables. Thank God for the believers in this meeting tonight. Thank God for every one of you. People sitting, young folks, have a look at the young folks here. Bless them. The Bible's in their hand. Sure, the devil's annoyed. This is absolutely contrary to what he expects in the last day. And when you keep this going for 17 years, he doesn't like you a bit. You see some of the letters he writes me. He writes to me regular. Now I know his handwriting now. And he wastes a 5G stamp every time. Because I see the spirit of the thing in the first phrase. I just screw it up and throw it in the fire. I don't know whether they're willing a fortune to me at the end or not, but I'm guessing they're not. I never read it. It would only do me harm, and don't let it in if I can help it. Just throw it in the fire. So don't go wasting your 5D stamp on me, because you'll get no answer, and I haven't read it. It's doing you no good. Look, let's get the hold of this. See these denials? The denial of Christ. The denial of the coming of Christ. The denial of the power of Christ. The denial of the faith of Christ. Turn away from the faith. The denial now of the word of Christ. Tell me, are we in the last of the last days? I've taken this out of the book to prove it. Now I want to take another week at this. Because I want to preach next Tuesday on the demands of the last days for the believer. The demands. What does the Lord want you to do? Bring your Bible next Tuesday, and I believe God will bless you. Singing two verses, maybe three verses, because we've got to take the chairs out of the aisle. And those of you in the chairs, if you when you stand up, if you just move a step sideways, then the deacons will run those out in no time at all. 1763. by the few and thorn, but soon he'll come in glory. The hour is drawing nigh for the coming day. The crowning day is coming by and by. And we'll sing the first and the second and the last. First, second, last. 1, 7, 6, 3. Thank thee again for thy holy word. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt put this truth into our hearts tonight with convicting power, that we are living in the very last of the last days without a shadow of doubt. Lord, awaken us. May we hear thee saying, "Arise, thou that sleepest. Christ shall give thee life." Now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Lord, we thank thee for this great company around thy word. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Take us home in safety. Part us now in thy fear and with thy blessing. For thy name's sake. Amen. Amen.